Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
I had a vision as I was praying this week. And I love watching, I'm just going to be honest, you know, I know who I voted for. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I voted to reelect our president for specific reasons. Okay, so hear me on this. And as you've seen across the nation, these Trump trains of flags and caravans, it's amazing. It's beautiful. I think it is. You know why? Because it's the full expression of the freedom of speech and what we have. But here's the caution that the Lord gave me. Would we lift the banner of Jesus with as much fervency as we've lifted the Trump flag? And I'm full MAGA, okay? But greater than that, I am make the kingdom great in the world. Like, do we understand that's where we live in this time and this place? And so what I saw was what Sean Foyt has been doing across the nation through these worship rallies and taking was a manifestation of fervency for worship and for the king that will bring greater transformation to the nation than who you vote for. Vote, yes. But the greater thing that is coming is when we have that same boldness to run out there and fly a flag that says, Jesus is king. Let me pray for you. When I was in the at the gas station this morning getting coffee, I just asked the woman, how can I pray for you? And her eyes lit up and she goes, oh, I listen to the Bible every morning. I said, I know you do. How can I pray for you? Jesus wants to bless you right now. And she just gave me a prayer request and I prayed for her. And she was just like, thank you, thank you. The world's crying out for a manifestation of the greatness of God. And you are the manifestation of that. So vote. But greater than your vote on Tuesday, the work of the kingdom must continue in greater levels than any Trump train, any political party, anything. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right. So you're charged with the responsibility. Today, this afternoon, I am a manifestation of the goodness of God on the planet. I will pray for the sick. I will encourage people. I will share the gospel. Power is in the preaching of the gospel, the demonstration of the gospel. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to have this boldness. If anything, these last 2 weeks has given me this fervency from the place of intimacy, I must act. From the place of intimacy of who I am with Him, I must act. Not out of obligation, but I have a choice, but I don't have a choice. It's just flowing out of me. It's just this burning desire of who He is. It's just bubbling out. Do you understand? That's what it means to be in revival, church. Not reviving your old dreams. It's not about your dreams. It's about His plan for you. And in that process, the dreams that you have that He gave you will come to fruition. But it's about being revived into a breathing, fire-breathing, tongue-speaking, preaching the gospel, demonstrating it, expression of the intimacy of God to the world. How do I know that to be true? Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus wasn't a religious leader. Jesus wasn't a moral leader. Jesus was the full expression of the Father on the earth. I like what Damon Thompson says. Jesus is exactly what the Father wanted to say about Himself. Jesus is exactly what the Father wanted to say about Himself. And let me tell you this. If you're born again and you're stepping into this place of sonship, of knowing who you are in Him, you are the exact representation of the Father. You're exactly who Jesus wants you to say He is. If Jesus is exactly what the Father wanted to say about Himself, you're exactly who Jesus wants to say about Himself. So you see, it's got to transition from blessings into I am. It's got to transition from warfare into I am. It's got to transition for I have a need into I am. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's something about just becoming who He made you to be. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this, let love be your highest goal. in the New Living Translation. Let love be your highest goal. And in the New King James Version, it says, pursue love. Pursue love. There's something about pursuing the love of the Father, pursuing what is available in Him, being in this place of what's the highest motivation of my heart. Now, it does continue that, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Why? Because if you're pursuing His heart, you discover why He brought the gifts in the first place. If you pursue the gifts before you pursue love, you lack the motivation to properly use the gifts. But when you pursue the heart of the who He is, the gifts make sense. Somebody says, well, it's weird, it's manifesting. Wait a minute, if you understand the heart of the Father, you'll understand why He gave the gift to prophesy. Because He wants the world to hear Him and know Him. He wants to set into motion destinies. If you understand the heart of the Father, you'll understand why He heals the sick. We stop getting into this theological debate. Are the gifts for today? Are they for tomorrow? Were they for yesterday? Who cares about any of that argument? He is healer. If you understand the heart of the Father, He heals. He's wanting to manifest Himself in and through your life. But here's the understanding of love. Love is not an obligation to fulfill. Love is not an obligation to fulfill, but it's the release of who God is. If I feel obligated to love you, sister, it's not real agape love, is it? Right? Because I'm having to stir something, I'm having to work something, and I'm having to try to love you as if there's something not to love about you. But if love is not an obligation, but instead the release of who He is, I can love you because there's so much to love about you because He made you. And I'll let you in a little secret. Then you can love yourself. Not lover of yourself. You can love yourself as He loves you. So love is not an obligation to fulfill, but the release of who God is. Love is a person. Repeat after me. Love is a person. Love is an identity. That's God's identity. I am love. I am is an identity statement. He's love. It's not about work, about effort. It's coming into alignment with that. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says this. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Notice it doesn't say the one who doesn't love is bad. It doesn't say that. The one who does not love is evil. The one who does not love has something sin issue with them. It doesn't say that. It says you don't even know Him. So what does that tell me? It's about intimacy. It's about relationship. It's about encountering who He is that transforms you so that you can actually release who He is. The amount of love you operate in is directly connected to your awareness of how much light is already in you. It's going to be a statement. Listen to this. The amount of love that you operate in is directly connected to your awareness of how much light is already present in you. We don't have a darkness issue. Arise and shine, let your light shine. It's not about you, like those glow sticks that you have to break. It's not a chemical, it's not an artificial reaction. The devil, he masquerades as an angel of light. Because there's no light in him, so he has to break a glow stick in order to come to you and bring false revelation. Because he understands that light is the connectivity to who God is and your ability to be loved by Him. The amount of love you operate in is directly connected to your awareness of how much light is already in you. What does that mean? If He fully lives in me, then light is already fully present. Ponder that. See, when the gospel's preached that says you need to turn from your wicked ways, you're an evil, bad person, this or that, How many people understand that we're bringing a portion of the gospel that has truth in it, but we're not giving the full revelation of why somebody can step into a sinless life? It's not about revealing your sin and your behavior and your bad thoughts. It's about revealing that you don't know him. The problem the world has is not sin. Repeat after me. The problem the world has is not sin. They don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would love him. You would become like him. So it's a revelation issue. Did you know that you can't quantify darkness? You can't measure darkness. But you can measure light. Light reveals things, yes, but even greater, light is both who God is and the result of his presence. Light reveals things, yes, but even greater, light is both who God is and it's the result of his presence. Why is it that we, from the perspective of eternity, that there's no shadow that he casts? Why? Because it's not a directional light. It's the essence of who he is. Shadows cannot find a place to hide. There cannot be any shadows in his presence because his light emanates everywhere all at once. It occupies every atom. It occupies every quark. It occupies everything. Do you understand that? There's no place that shadow can hide because there's no place that God is not existing. And that's not universalism. That's just understanding who he is. So if that's true in the universe, what's that true about you inside you? Coming to Jesus must be this. I didn't know him. And yes, he went to a cross to make a way for me to know him. He took care of the thing that caused me to not know him by killing that on the cross so that I can be born again and what? Know him. It's about knowing him. It's about knowing him. It's about intimacy with him. It's about being embraced by him. It's about understanding that I never was until he said I am. God is doing something in you. God is doing something in you, church. He's doing something in your heart. And it must be understood from the perspective of light and love. It must be understood from the perspective of light and love. God is love, but look, God is light. 1 John 1:5. Now this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. This is John the Beloved. God is light. There is absolutely no darkness in him and he's in you. Why do you think there's darkness in you? The only reason you would ever have darkness in you as a born-again believer is because you closed your eyes to the light of the Lord, revealing who you were made to be. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the what? Light of men. Do you see this? Life and light and love, it's all interconnected. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light. We think that John the Baptist was there to testify about you evil sinners, turn or burn, all you Pharisees, you brood of vipers. Now, was that a portion of his message to the religious crowd? Of course it was. But the primary message that John preached was, here's the light! Here he comes! It's the one I was made in. Do you understand when you walk into the earth as a demonstration of who he is, people begin to be like this. Why? Because you're bright in a dark world. Has anybody ever, you spent time in a dark night, like say you were just sleeping at night, you got all the curtains closed, it's like pitch black in your room, and you wake up in the morning. And a lot of times this will happen with my phone, right? It's pitch black in our room. And I've got my little thing here where I can change the vibrancy of the light on my phone. And barely having it up, when I first wake up, it's too bright for my eyes. I'm like, oh, God, it's going to burn my pupils, man. I'm like, I got to adjust this thing, right? What happens? As your eyes adjust to the light, your ability to take more light increases. Because you were designed for the light. Verse 5, that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light who gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. See, Jesus is the full expression of the Father. He's exactly what the Father wants to say about himself. Colossians 1:19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. For God in all his fullness. Let me hear you say fullness. So does that mean that God fully poured himself out? Yes, was pleased to live in Christ. That's Colossians 1:19. I challenge you to meditate on that scripture this week. Colossians 2:4. I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in the body, but I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and in the strength of your faith in Christ Jesus. That word well ordered has to do with military parade. Like when a general would visit a military base and they go and they do the presentation and walking out in order and everything, that's what Paul's talking about. Like, you're ordered, not like, okay, you better not act up. It's like you're together as an army. You're together as a people. You're in unity. You're walking, lock, and step, right? You have an understanding, a way to take care of one another. There's a language that we use. That's what Paul's saying. It says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. That word literally just says, conduct your life. The way you conduct your life. How are you living out? How are you conducting your life? Walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So be rooted and built up in the light. Be rooted and built up in the love. Be rooted and built up in who he says he is. And established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. Do you understand this? I posted something this week that balance is overrated. When we think about balance, it's like counteracting forces that need to be able to balance themselves out. And we need to understand this. Jesus is the measure by which everything is weighed. He doesn't go on the scale. He is the scale. He's their exact representation. For the fullness, look, it says again, verse 9. Here he comes again. Paul brings it back. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Repeat after me. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. You got to get who Jesus is. You have to understand who he is so you can understand who you are. And you have been filled by him. Am I the only one that gets excited about this? Listen to this. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you've been filled by him. You have been filled by him. I mean, come on. Who is the head over every ruler and authority? Jesus. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands, but by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision with the Messiah. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were raised with him through the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and is taken out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly, and he triumphed over them by him. I believe wholeheartedly in spiritual warfare, prayers, intercession, coming against, binding, loosing, 110%. But our ability to bind and loose is found in this. He disarmed them already. They're already disarmed. We're enforcing what he did on the cross. If Jesus is exactly who the Father says he is, That means you are exactly what Jesus wants to say about himself to the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again. Remember, we're going to connect light and love again. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And by the way, this word follow has nothing to do with your ability to follow him. It has everything to do, of understanding this. He embraced me, so I'm already connected to him, so I embrace him back, and in that process, I'm following him. When I want my son to follow me, there's times when he was a little kid, I'd pick him up and say, let's go, son, we're going along. I couldn't get mad at him, why aren't you following me? No, he was in my arms. I made sure he could follow me by embracing him. How many people have had toddlers where they kind of fight you and they want to get out of your arms and you're just like, it's like wrestling an oiled pig, right? They don't want to follow you. Your surrender says, I'm not fighting God. I'm embracing the one who's embraced me, so I follow him. Y'all okay? Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So I'm the light of the world. Repeat after me. Jesus is the light of the world. Now repeat after me. I am the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We're not supposed to be a hidden group of people. We're supposed to be ones who are so full with the light of Jesus that we become a demonstration of the light of Jesus to the world. So repeat after me. Jesus is the light of the world. And so am I. If you could just embrace that. If the church would just embrace that. All the theological stupid discussions that we get in, secondary stuff would go out the window. And because I begin to look at you and go, you're the light of the world. So am I. Let's be the light together. All this bickering and infighting and I've got, well, they said this to me and they did this to me. And is the light of Jesus in you? Yes. Is the light of Jesus in them? Yes. Did they display some darkness? Yes. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's come together. Let's come together as light bearers. Let's start looking at each other and go, that person's amazing, and that person's amazing, and that person's amazing. And what ends up happening is we then begin to come together unified, edifying who God made us each to be, and there's no jealousy or envy. I love my brother, Tim Darnell, who pastors Hill Country Church. I love my brother, Joel, who leads Sozo Church. I love Richard and Sylvia up in True Life. I love them so much. I love the guys over at Kingdom Life. You know what? Their success is not holding me back. There's no jealousy. I love Brian Leifesty over at North Point. I love Don Duncan over at Tree of Life. I love the people over Oakwood. I love the people. You know why? Because together we are necessary as the light bearers. There's no jealousy or envy when it comes into this. I feel like the Lord wants to deal with this for a second. It's time for us to stop being jealous of others and realize that when we are brought together for a season and a purpose, like those who come into Legacy, like we're here together for a reason. There's an anointing on this house for a reason. You're here for a reason. And it's because the light that's in you is needed, though combined with the light that's here, so we can be a bright light shining. And I need Tree of Life, and I need Oakwood, and I need those other brothers and sisters in Christ. You need them too. Why? Because we're one body, one spirit, one light. This is not a light show of competing light spectrums. It's one light. One light. So 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal, You should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Motivation of one's heart is highly important. Jesus spoke to the condition of people's heart because the heart serves as the motivation factor, the motivation center, the action center where decisions are made. See, mind, will, and emotions makes up your heart. Notice that will was given to you. God does not violate your free will. He gave it to you so you could freely receive him and freely give him away. And if you're not willing to freely receive him, it hurts his heart because he loves you, but he will honor your choice. But at the same measure, when you freely receive him, it begins to transition your will. I find what I wanted to happen 20 years ago has changed. Especially in marriage. Like I'm beginning to mature in my relationship with my wife, Agrella, as you know, like when I was 21 when we got married, I was selfish. I mean, I was motivated by selfishness, and I knew Jesus. But 21 years later, I'm like going, man, my heart motivation is so much different. Because I'm coming into a place of the one I'm in love with, and it motivates my heart. That's what God's wanting, is a mature bride who understands how to move and sync with his heart. So our heart serves as the motivation and action center, which is another reason Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Because he knew if he did not heal the brokenhearted, you will give away what you have, which includes hurt. So I'm just going to say this. Are there real hurts? Yes. Have there been trauma? Yes. Has there been things that never should have happened to you? Yes. But if you encounter the light and the love of who he is, those things will be dealt with in the light of who he is, and healing will come. Because as long as you're motivated by protecting your heart from being hurt again, you'll never release the love of what God has for you. And have boundaries. Come on, like, let's use common sense. If somebody's unrepentant, they're abusive, and they continue in that foolishness, yes, set a boundary. We're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is what's impacting your heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. I'm just going to be real frank. I used to teach this differently a few years ago. I used to say, see, you need to examine the evil that's in your heart. You need to make sure there's no evil in your heart. And the Lord's been going, son, the level of love you operate in is in direct proportion to the awareness of the light that's already in you. I don't deal with evil by killing evil. I deal with evil by embracing light. When I embrace the light of who he is, then I see how he completely transforms it. Let me say this. I've seen creative miracles. I think this is a good illustration. I saw an arm grow out. I've seen an eye ball form. I've seen deaf ears open. But let me use this as an illustration. We were praying for a deaf person who was born deaf in Bangkok, 2016. I've never seen a deaf person healed before. And there's this tension point inside of my heart where I'm going, God, I know miracles are real. I know you heal, but I'm afraid that it's not going to happen because I don't want to see them disappointed again and again and again. It was like this whole thing going on. And what I heard the Lord say is, do you think it was ever according to your ability or your belief or your faith to make this thing happen? Or is it the fact that I'm already light? I'm already life. I'm already healing this person now. Can you just come into agreement with that? I said, okay. And you're praying for a deaf person, so it's even though there was signing, it was difficult to communicate that to the person or whatever. And so all the Lord had me do was to pull out my phone and say this. Look into the light. And somebody's going, wait, well, they're deaf. They're not blind. It's like, no. The light's already present. Give them something to focus on the light. And so this person is just staring at this light. And we begin to pray for them in this released life. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, now I want you to whisper in their ear, I love you. I love you. And here's what they did. I had to duck. Why? Because for the first time, they'd encountered the life and light of Jesus that brought a miracle. Why am I sharing this with you? Because this is the outflow of the message. Your level of love you can release is in coordination, it's in direct proportion to the awareness of the light that's already in you. And there's no darkness in you. Do you know what they had been doing for 30 minutes before I got there? They had been trying to walk her through, well, your family, I'm going to get in trouble with this one, but whatever. You can come back and we can clean it up later because there's a fullness of a teaching on this, all right? Your family dealt with witchcraft. You were dedicated to this goddess. I mean, all this. And so the people from the local church there had been ministering to her for 30 minutes, telling her how bad she is, how big the devil is, and how her whole life had been held by the demonic forces. And if she would just give up those things, then she would actually be healed. But in a moment, it says, you're a daughter of light. What the devil did to you is not your fault, and doesn't matter what your ancestors did. Jesus is here. And she said afterwards, when she stared into the light, she saw somebody embracing her. We don't have a darkness problem, y'all. We don't have a light problem. We have an awareness problem. The motivation of your heart needs to connect into what he's already made possible and who's already present. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, people are going to be set free today. There's people are going to be healed. I'm telling you this right now. Believe this right now. There's a release of healing right now being coming to you. And no matter what issue or concern you've been dealing with, it's being released right now. You know why? The oil of intimacy has already been released in the room. I can see it dripping down the walls right now. I can see it, the glisten in your hair right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? This isn't some hyperbole thing. I'm telling you what I'm seeing in the Spirit right now. I'm telling you what I'm seeing in the Spirit right now. I'm telling you what I'm seeing in the Spirit right now. So it's not about you getting your heart good and your heart not evil. It's about the fact that Jesus says this, I'm going to heal your broken heart. And when you come into alignment, mind, will, and emotions with who I am as love and as light, now you have a treasury inside of you. It's the treasury of who he is in you begins to overflow. And you're not having to go, oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. No. Jesus, you're good. Jesus, you're good. It's this treasury of a heart that says he is king and he loves and he's full of light and it brings transformation. For God so loved the world, the motivation of the heart of the Lord was love. And look what the result was. He gave. He gave his son. He says, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to redeem you. To set in motion what was always supposed to be in the first place. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's the beautiful thing. I don't have to give my life as a ransom. I give his life away. Some of you got that. I don't have to give my life as a ransom. I give his life away. He ransomed me. I don't have to ransom myself or you. But I give away his life. It's not about giving away his death. It's about giving away his life. Let me just read through 1 John 4. Verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. There's the intimacy. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What is sin? Sin is the separation from knowing him. Sin is not behavior. Behavior is a fruit of not knowing him. Bad thoughts are the fruit of not knowing him. So when we discipline our kids, it's saying, that's not who you are. Stop doing that bad thing. Or, hey, that's not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Let me show you who you are. And then the overflow is going to be, you're going to be who you are. But when we prophesy to them, you're bad, you're evil, turn or burn, guess what? We're prophesying what's not true. And I'm just going to make a statement that, and we become an angel of light, a masquerading as an angel of light. Because if religion, Kelly and I were talking about this last night, someone steal her line, she goes, you can't religion your way into this, and you can't religion your way out of it. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Jesus is the full expression of the Father's heart. 1 John 4:13, and God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. We're in this series called the Holy Spirit, so let's connect it back in. God has given his Spirit as proof, a title deed. So, well, how can I pray for the sick? He put his Spirit in you. Act according to the certificate of the Holy Spirit that's in your life. It's a weighty legal document, okay? The Holy Spirit's in you to prove to you that he's good. It says, as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. Notice life. It's life. It's life. It's not about turning from sin. It's not about turning from bad behavior. It's not about death. The death of Jesus was necessary in order for you to enter into life. But look what it says. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Let me read that again. We know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in his what? In his love. What are you putting your trust in? Quade said it earlier, it can't be mammon, it can't be money. It can't be in your ability to be good. It can't be in your ability to love. It can't be in your ability to forgive. It can't be in your ability to do anything outside of him. But he says this, but if you put your trust in his love, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. What if we just believe that? You go to lunch today and see somebody that needs to be loved on. It's easy to pray for people. It's easy to share the gospel. When you go, God wants to love them. Man, he loves them. We just need, let's go love on them. Well, I don't know if I can prophesy. I don't know if I can lay hands on. Just love them. Connect to the love of God that's in you and let the love of God flow through you, and he will do what he needs to be done. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. That word perfect is maturity. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced. Let me hear you say experienced. People come against experience. And I get it. Granted, if your entire theology is built purely on experience outside the Word of God, it can be dangerous. But if your faith in God is built totally on your information about God that's not experienced, you're equally deceived. Selah. If we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. This shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. So what's the answer? Experience his love. What does he want you to experience today? His love. It's a simple message. For God so loved you. He loves me. He loves me. He doesn't love me not. He loves me. It's like getting the fire. He loves me. 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 Do you understand that? Do you understand the love that people just need an encounter with this love? And your ability to love is directly proportionate to your awareness of the light that's already in you. There's no darkness in you. Not if you're born again. It's light. 1 John 1:5, now this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. There's absolutely no darkness in him. And if we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We don't have a sin issue. The blood took care of it. And again, context. We walk people through steps to freedom because there is something about inner healing and bringing into something where I'm breaking beliefs. But those steps to freedom is not about getting you whole. It's about you breaking the chains of belief and darkness and bringing you into alignment with what is already true about you through the blood of Jesus. It's coming into alignment with light. The point of freedom is light and life and love in him. I've got 3 more pages of notes, and that's okay. Why don't y'all stand up with me? I just want to read 1 Corinthians 13:13 over you. Actually, let me start in verse 12, okay? And then we're going to pray over you. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. What's he talking about? When Jesus comes back, you will fully understand everything. Which means now, even your understanding is incomplete, but that's okay. Incomplete knowledge is not a bad thing. It's an invitation to know him more. Look what it says, verse 13. 3 things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Oh, I'm going to read this over you and then we're going to pray. Motivations and decisions. What influences your motivation and decision-making? Is it God? Is it yourself? Is it outside influences? Is it the enemy? Just like every thought you have is not necessarily yours, you can be moved by motivations outside of yourself, and that's actually called manipulation. What we've seen in our nation is projected anger, projected fear. And what the call has been in our culture has been this: aren't you offended? You should be. Aren't you mad? You should be. Aren't you upset? You should be. Aren't you afraid? You should be. That's the motivation of the father of lies. And it's been projected over the nation. And what I'm telling you is, it's all darkness. And what's necessary is this: arise and shine. I am motivated by the light of the love of God that's fully present in me now. I am a city on a hill. I am. You are. We are. So, Father, right now, we just come and we come against every lie of the enemy that magnified darkness, that magnified fear, that magnified anger, that magnified anything that's found outside of you, and we tear it down in the name of Jesus. And we make the declaration that you are light, you are love, and we are the light of the world together in you. We come into agreement now that just as you fully were pleased to live in Jesus Christ on the earth, you fully are pleased to live in us now. And from that position of light, we shine now. We make a declaration that light has come and darkness is fleeing. It cannot stand in our city, cannot stand in our region, it cannot stand in our nation, and it certainly will not stand in the world, because we join right now with the light across the planet right now, and we shine brightly for you. I pray for an anointing of light bearers now to come. I just declare right now, light is infusing you now, right now in the name of Jesus. He's coming inside of you, and he's taking every single place that masqueraded as light or masqueraded as darkness, and it's revealing the light that's in you fully now. It's revealing the light that's in you fully now. And you are transformed, you have been transformed, and you will continue to live transformed. And we declare this now in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.